I hope that you are ready to be in God's Word today. If you have a Bible, I'll ask you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We have ended our sermon series of Possible Kingdom, and we have one standalone message today called 8 Days of Unbelief. And then next Sunday, we begin the Red Letter Challenge. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But for today, I'm glad that you were here. Now, I've got to be honest, you guys seem a little bit subdued today. And I attribute that to this every year around this time. It's not the weather. It's the kickoff to football season. People come in a little bit exhausted because their team struggled. And I'm pretty certain I can say this. I don't care who your team is. They struggled yesterday at parts of the time, right? But the reality is we come in a little subdued. And I want to remind you this morning that the tomb is empty. Amen. Amen. The throne is occupied. Amen. God is at work, and we are here to serve Him. So today, we get to hear from the Lord. Now, I want to start with the great theologian. His name is Hagar the Horrible, or Hagar the Horrible. It depends on how you say it and how you read the comic book. But one of the world's most loved comic strips, Hagar the Horrible. In one strip, we find Hagar kneeling in prayer. And this is what he says. This was in the comic strip. He says, "It's not easy to believe in you, God. We never see you. How come you never show yourself? How do we know you even exist?" And then the next frame shows a flower springing into life beside him. The next frame shows a volcano erupting in the distance. The next frame shows an eclipse of the sun turning the sky black. And then a star shooting across the sky. A tide wave rushing over him, making him wet. Lightning flashing, a burst of fire, and a bush begins to burn, a stone rolling away from the entrance to a tomb, and then he pulls himself out of the mud, dripping wet, surrounded by darkness, and he says this, "Oh, okay, I give up. Every time I bring up this subject, all we get is interruptions." Friends, hear me say this. Unbelief requires some work. Unbelief takes some effort. God is revealing himself all around us. Amen? He is revealing himself. Most people on the planet do believe that God exists in some form. But I would say there is a difference between a belief that God exists and a belief that leads to faith. If you're writing things down, write this down. It is one thing to declare your faith in God. It is quite another to live by faith in God. Many people make declarations that they believe in God, but to live by faith is another thing. Just hours before Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to most of his disciples, just hours after his resurrection, he appeared that evening to most of his disciples in a locked room where they were hiding for fear of the Jews and what they might do. And after this encounter, they believed in the resurrection of Jesus, and it changed the course of history. It changed everything for them. But one disciple was missing that night. One disciple was not there when Jesus showed himself. Let's look together at John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, and that's where we pick the story up. It says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin," or yours might say called Didymus, that just means twin. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the marks of his nails, of the nails, and place my fingers in the marks of the nails, and place my hand inside his side, I will never believe.'" Verse 26. 8 days later. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you've seen me? Well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This is an incredible passage of grace. It's an incredible passage of faith. We see God at work, and it's a pivotal moment in the life of the disciples and a pivotal moment in the life of Thomas, one particular disciple. Thomas was absent when Jesus appeared to the disciples the night of after his resurrection. He wasn't there. We don't know where he was. We don't know why he was gone, but we know he was not there. He was not there when Jesus showed them his hands inside. He was not there when Jesus said, "I am sending you." He was not there when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Thomas missed out on 8 days of living faith simply because he was absent. For 8 days, the other disciples lived by faith. They knew Jesus had done exactly what he said he was going to do. They had experienced the resurrected Lord. So for 8 days, Thomas has unbelief. Now, we often talk about Thomas, and what is it we call him? Doubting Thomas. We say that as if he had less faith than all the others. But I'll be honest with you. I think we have mislabeled him. If you'll look back at John chapter 20 and back up a couple of verses to verse 19, look what happened when Jesus first appeared to the other disciples. It says this, John 20, 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, sounds just like the story 8 days later, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Don't miss that. Jesus did the same for the other disciples that he did for Thomas. He showed them his hands and his side as proof as well for them. They believed in Jesus before this, but they did not live by faith in a resurrected Jesus until they encountered him in person. Listen, there's no indication in the scripture that Thomas believed less in Jesus than any of the others. He simply was absent when Jesus came. In fact, I would say Thomas was a man of great faith. If you were to look, and you don't have to turn there, it'll be on the screen, in John chapter 11, verse 16, before Jesus' death, when Lazarus has died, Jesus says, "We're going to go to Bethany and we're going to check on Lazarus." He knew what he was about to do to bring him back to life. But the disciples urged him and said, "Listen, they just tried to stone you in Judea where you're headed in Bethany. And you want to go back there now?" But you know what Thomas, the one we call Doubting Thomas, said? This is what Thomas said in verse 16. So Thomas, called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Listen, that's not the prayer of a man who doubts. Those are the words of a bold man. Those are words of a man who believed in Jesus. So what I would say to you today is Thomas didn't doubt Jesus. Thomas doubted the apostles. He hadn't seen it for himself yet. But once he encountered Jesus himself, he believed and he declared him Lord. And then his belief turned to living faith right away. So what can we learn from this passage today? Why can we read this and then say, this is how I will apply it to my life? Here's some things. First of all, if you're writing things down, you need to show up to grow up. Listen, I'm going to ask you to a little crowd participation. It won't hurt. So look at the person next to you and say, you need to show up to grow up. Go ahead and tell them. Now listen, don't say it mean, because they're here. They showed up, okay? But just say, you need to show up to grow up. It's a nice reminder. We need to show up. Thomas didn't show up, so Thomas missed out for 8 days. Then Jesus shows up, and Thomas believes, and everything changes from that point forward. In fact, we do not have in the scripture a record of what happened to Thomas in the end of his life. But Christian tradition teaches us, and what has been passed down, is that Thomas ended up being a great missionary in India. And many, many, many people came to know Jesus because Thomas was a bold man who believed in Jesus and lived out his faith. So the reality is, you got to show up to grow up. What does that mean? We need to show up for God's word. I can't tell you enough how attending church is a wonderful thing, and I'm glad you showed up, because if you show up here, you can grow up. It's part of what we do. Small group discipleship, Sunday school, you show up to grow up, to pray together, to be together, to learn from one another. It's what we do. Midweek discipleship, you show up to grow up. We gather together to study God's word on a little deeper level. It's what we do. But I can attest to one thing for certain. If all you get of God's word is what you get on Sunday or Wednesday, friends, you're missing out. You're not showing up for God's word. You got to show up for God's word, meaning daily read God's word. Daily be in his word. You may say, but Pastor Chris, I struggle to read God's word. I struggle with reading, period. So it's hard for me. So is there something else I can do? Listen, there's a wonderful app. Let me tell you about it. If you need to hear God's word instead of try to read it, maybe that's a struggle for you. Don't be ashamed of that. Just know this. There's a wonderful app. There's a small fee involved, but it's called Dwell. Dwell is the name of the app, and all it is, it has four different beautiful voices that will read the word of God to you. It has reading plans. It has, you can pick your own type of background music. You can pick if you want that or not. You can pick the voices. There's a voice, a beautiful accented female voice. There is a strong male African accent that is, if you're reading something real, you can swap it around. I like to read it and swap it around to the different ones. There's four distinct voices that you can listen. You can listen to the word of God. But the point is, you got to show up for God's word. If you need to listen to it or read it for yourself, whatever the case may be, we need to be in God's word. Why? Because it is truth. We are told in the scripture that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces the thoughts and actions of the heart. God's word is alive. God's word will meet you where your circumstance is today. So friends, if you're not in God's word, can I tell you, you got to show up to grow up. Invest time daily in his word. Next, you need to show up to grow up. Show up for God's people. That's where we do corporately gather. Listen, that's part of his plan. The scripture is clear about that. And so if I can say to you, if you live part of your life absent from the word of God or absent from the fellowship of God's people, then you might miss out on a mighty move of God and of being able to live out your faith in response to that. So I would encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, let's examine our own lives to see if we're showing up in God's word and to see if we're showing up to be around other believers. Thomas missed out for 8 days simply for being absent. Next that I would say we can learn from this passage is this. We're taught here, we see that people can have a belief in God, but not have a living faith. The apostles believed in Jesus, but he had died. They had not yet had the personal encounter with him post-resurrection that led them to live out their faith in a different way. So what were they doing? They were hiding. They were hiding in fear. They were hiding in the lack of faith. And it didn't come until they had that personal encounter with the Lord multiple times that then they became the most bold people on the planet and the gospel spread like wildfire. So what I would say to you is this. Are you settling for amazement, belief in God, or are you truly living by faith? You can be amazed by believing in God. Oh, he's so good to me. You can be amazed, but God desires more. He wants our heart and he wants our life to be radically transformed by his grace. There is a devotion that I will read to you that sums this up perfectly by a man named Paul David Tripp. Let me read to you what he says. It's powerful words here. He says, there is a significant difference between amazement and faith. God doesn't just want to blow your mind. He wants to rule your heart. It's an important distinction, that one that is not made frequently enough. Faith surely does engage your brain, but it is fundamentally more than that. Faith is something that you do with your life. True biblical faith doesn't stop with thought. It radically rearranges the way you approach everything in your life. Amazement is what you experience when you are taken beyond the categories that you carry around to explain or define things. Amazement is a step in the faith process, but there is a huge difference between amazement and faith. He says, pretend you're standing next to me on a pier on the Jersey Shore. We're looking at one of those amusement park contraptions that is essentially a 50-foot high slingshot into which they strap some otherwise sane human being and launch him back and forth over the Atlantic Ocean. Now, the ride amazes both of us, but we're not about to strap ourselves in and be launched into the night. Are we amazed? Yes, but we will not put our faith in this thing. In the same way, listen to this, you can be amazed by the grand sweep of the redemptive story of the Scripture and still not be living by faith. You can be amazed by the theology of the Word of God and not be living by faith. You can be amazed by a great worship music. You can participate in it every Sunday and not be living by faith. You can be amazed by the love of your small group and not be living by faith. You can be amazed by the wonderful biblical preaching and teaching that you hear and not be living by faith. You can be amazed by the grace of the cross of Jesus and not be living by faith. There is a significant, yes, even profound difference between amazement and faith. God will not leave us in a state of amazement. He works by grace to craft us into people of settled, hopeful, courageous, active, God-glorifying faith. He will settle for nothing less. He is not satisfied, listen to this, he is not satisfied with the wonder of our minds. He will not relent until he has established his life-altering rule in our hearts. He works so that we really will believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Friends, I can tell you, it's one thing to believe in God, be amazed by him. It's another thing to live by faith. God's word is designed to help us live by faith. Here's what I've learned over the years of ministry and in my own life as well. People will tell you what they want to believe, but their actions will show you how they really believe. Isn't that true? People will espouse with their mouth what they want to be true, but what our actions are, how we live our lives, that's how we really believe. So my question is this: are you living by faith? In your actions, are you living by faith in God? In your generosity, are you living by faith in God? In your love for others, are you living by faith in God? In your response to others, are you living by faith in God? In your investment of God's word, are you living by faith in God? In living the words of Jesus. Next week, we begin a challenge called the Red Letter Challenge. And there's a workbook. We're going to give those out in just a few minutes to you. And we've made those available. We've had multiple people that have contacted us from the community. We've put out through social media encouraging people if they're not in our church and they want to go through the Red Letter Challenge with us. They just have to let us know and we'll send them a book. That's happened over and over again. And there's many more to send out on Tuesday that have come in over the weekend. But for us, we're providing you the book as well. It's a workbook. It's a 40-day workbook. And in this workbook, there will be a small devotion that you will read every single day. It'll take anywhere from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, no more than that, depending on how slow or fast you read. And you might want to read parts of it again. The first 5 or so, 6 days are designed to, or first 5 days are designed to help us get an understanding of what the whole study is about. And then days 6 through 40, every day is a simple challenge to live out some of the words of Jesus, the red letter words of your Bible, the words of Jesus in red, to live those out. Now, I have to tell you, it's not a hard read. In fact, some of you will read parts of it and think, this is really simple. Are we sure this is going to be good enough for us to do? Here's what I would say to you. It's designed to be challenging to do, not challenging to understand. It will be easy to understand, but living it out will be quite different in some ways. So I'm praying for you, and I'm asking you to join me in praying that God will give us a radical encounter with him over the next 40 days that will begin next Sunday, that we can learn to live by faith, not profess faith, not just believe, but to live by faith in the Son of God. To live by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, what can we do with today, though? What do we do with what we've heard today from this passage? Well, there's a few things I wrote down really quickly. First of all, we can stop saying church attendance is a priority. Instead, we just make it a priority. Live it out. We can stop saying, I want to be generous. like Jesus and instead just begin to give and be generous with our lives. Live it out. We can live the gospel message. We can seek to live it out in a way that others will see it and know about it. We can live the words of Jesus. We can live it out in a way that others will see and know about it. We can live the grace of God. And I want to challenge you and myself that we together this fall, that God might do a work in our lives to make us more like Him. Now, that's all I have to say today, really. I just want to challenge you for one more moment. When you think about Thomas, and we call him Doubting Thomas, and we think about the fact that he, in a sense, wanted some proof of the resurrection, we're really no different. But that last line of that passage where Jesus says, "You have seen and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and believed." You know who that is? That's us. We've not seen Jesus in the flesh. We've not seen His nail scars. We've not seen the spear in the place in His side where it was. We've not seen the nail prints in His feet. We've not seen that face to face. So it says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We are blessed even more than the apostles for the fact that God has given us a living faith in Him. But I would dare say this, even though we've not seen Him in the flesh, listen, we've seen Him, haven't we? We've seen Him at work in those around us. We've seen Him at work among our faith family. You've seen it as people have comforted you in difficult times. You've seen it as people have served you and ministered to you in different ways. You've seen Him through someone that spoke a word in the right season at the right time for you. You've seen it when someone boldly came along and just put their arm around you and encouraged you in a difficult time. You've seen it when you have fallen and messed up and someone came along and offered you a hand up to help you out. You've seen it when someone gently rebuked and restored you in the way that God would have us to. I could go on and on and on, but we have seen Jesus at work. I've seen Him in you. I've seen Him in so many of us. But my prayer is that we would come to understand that though now we have experienced that faith, we have experienced living faith, if we're not careful, it is easy to start down a road of living faith and then find ourselves just drift right back to belief or amazement. Oh, we love the songs. Oh, we love God's word. Oh, we love all the church activities. But are we truly living by faith? Friends, don't drift away from living by faith. Amazement looks good, but it's a cheap substitute for living a belief in God. So can I ask you today, what are you doing in your life that's requiring you to live by faith? What are you doing today that's requiring you to live by faith? For some of us, the answer might be, listen, I got out of the bed and I made it to church with all the difficulties going on in my life. This was a step in that direction. That's fine. For others of us, though, the reality might be that you would have to say, I'm living a pretty comfortable life. I'm amazed by who God is, but when it comes to me living by faith, I'm not stepping out of that. I'm not stepping into that role very much, so I want to change. If that's the case, would you simply make a commitment that starting next Sunday, you will, just like me, make a renewed commitment that for 40 days, we will seek to live the words of Jesus, to live by faith in Him, by living out the things He told us to do. Every day will be something simple and easy. Some of it will not be hard at all, but it will take some effort on our part to do. What would happen if 400 people in Albertville say, we will live by faith? We will take 40 days and live the words of Jesus exactly as He gives them to us. What a difference that could make. My prayer is that you would join us in that. Would you pray with me? And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, let me first simply say this. Maybe you're here and like Thomas, or your perception of Thomas, you've got some doubts and things that you struggle with. Can I encourage you to walk by faith? Can I encourage you to live by faith? Can I encourage you to speak truth to the Lord and say, I'm struggling in some ways, and I struggle with some belief? Listen, friends, just get on your knees here and let God do the work. Someone will come and pray with you. Maybe, though, some here today, God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe God's calling you to come and to be a part of what's happening here. And so maybe for you, one of your steps of faith is to get up and come down an aisle and say, look, this is it. This is where God wants me. This is the place. This is the day. For others, though, maybe you say, I don't understand all this talk about living by faith, walking by faith, being amazed by God. I believe in God, but I don't really know him. If you need to give your life to Jesus, in just a minute, would you come? We would love to share with you how you can have Jesus in your life. Father God, my prayer is that each and every one of us would move beyond being someone that just believes in you and is moved by you to someone that has been radically transformed to the point that it must be lived out in our lives every day. Oh God, do that among us, please. God, work in my life. May I make sure I have a faith that is living and active. Lord, do that in the hearts of each person here today. Father God, if there's someone here that's struggling or has a difficulty going on in their life, Lord, my prayer is that you would work in their heart right now, that we could pray for them, that you'd bring healing and help them through that process. Father, for others of us here that maybe we've had a struggle this week, a difficulty, maybe we just need some believers to pray for us and pray over us, whatever the case may be. God, may we be here for one another. Because when we say we must show up to grow up, Lord, may we simply show up for each other today. Lord, I pray that no one in this room experiences 8 days of unbelief. That every last one of us will do and be obedient to what you're telling us to do today. We pray this in the name of Jesus.